live in Lansing every afternoon with Cheryl Fritz. This is Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, Scott Eckersley producing, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me on the phone now, Gilda Jacobs, who is president of the Michigan League for Human Services. Good evening. How are you?
Hi, just fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing awfully well. Thank you. I saw a headline the other day, and I was excited. It said unemployment down, and I got excited about that. But then I see public assistance is up in Michigan. So I wanted to come right to the source and find out what this means and how it translates in, how one translates into another.
Well, you know, it sounds counterintuitive, but when you think about it, it actually really makes sense. First of all, there are some people who have gotten so discouraged that they've stopped looking for work. So, you know, that kind of skews the numbers. But a lot of people who have returned back to work in Michigan are people that are working in very low-paying jobs, minimum wage jobs. And, you know, we know that it takes, there was just a study actually that was just done that showed that for a family with two working parents and two kids, that those parents needed to be making $16 an hour each in order to just be able to provide enough for their families. So if you have people that are working at $8 an hour, $9 an hour, they may still be at that, 130% of poverty level in order to be able to qualify to get food assistance. So, yep, things are getting better, but, you know, we want to be sure that the jobs that are created in Michigan are high-paying jobs.
Well, and in terms of assistance, well, you know what? I think what it might be helpful for folks to know what the Michigan League for Human Services is and the kind of assistance you provide.
Well, actually, we're a data-driven organization. We provide information that is used by lawmakers to help make their decisions. So our purpose, and we've actually been around close to 100 years, is to help preserve the safety net in the state. And we do it by actually going in and studying the issues. And we've been doing a pretty good job for a long time. Right now, our big fight that we have on our hands is trying to save the earned income tax credit, which seems to be on the chopping block in this new budget. And that's one of those tax credits that helps working poor people. It's only for people that work, that helps people who are sometimes teetering on the edge of poverty just have that little extra measure of support to keep them functioning. If that tax credit is eliminated, we know that 14,000 more kids will fall into poverty in our state. So, you know, the economic security bulletin, while it shows that more people are working, we also know that the trend in Michigan is that the rate of poverty is actually getting higher. And, you know, you can't paint too rosy of a picture for the state when you have almost half the kids in the state on free and reduced price lunches. That doesn't really speak well for the whole economic outlook of the state. So we have to continue to work hard to make sure that the jobs that we produce are good paying jobs and that the safety net that we still need in this state is preserved while we work to get the state working better.
Now, this earned income tax credit has received an awful lot of attention. And as you said, some people have thought that this was some kind of a welfare program. And, you know, when people first discuss it, but as you just alluded to, this is only for working families.
Exactly. You have to work in order to get that tax credit. So part of our job at the league is to get the correct information out. You know, we have to dispel the myths that are around so that decisions are made with accurate data, with accurate information.
And how many families ballpark are taking advantage of the earned income tax credit in the state?
We have close to 800,000 folks that are. That's a lot of people, and that makes a huge difference to so many folks. The average amount that somebody, that families get is about $432. And you know how expensive gas is. I'm, driving home, and gas is $3.89. Car repairs are skyrocketing. So, for a family that is, has heating bills to pay, and the utility companies are sometimes pretty nice. They say, okay, well, wait, you can pay it later. They're on a payment schedule, knowing very well that when folks get their EITC refunds, that money is used oftentimes to catch up with utility bills, with their rent, to pay a car payment, maybe a car repair that somebody has been putting off for a long time. That money, interestingly enough, goes directly back into the local economy. And it is, it's called one of the best anti-poverty tools, but it's also a huge economic stimulus for our small businesses, because that money goes right back into the local economy.
And the thought behind this is if this were eliminated, losing that amount of money could push people below the poverty line.
Yeah, we know that it will. The studies are very clear. We know that it will push more families below the poverty line, and that at a time when we're trying to lift kids out of poverty in the state, we know that there will be 14,000 more kids pushed into poverty. That's not what our state ought to be doing.
The numbers, of course, when we start talking about assistance are staggering. The households in the state getting food assistance, that's huge.
It is huge. It's really hard to believe. And it's all sorts of people. People are coming, even to food pantries and to food assistance programs, in addition to the food, the bridge cards that they're getting. And some of these folks are people who were, donating to the same charities that are now out there trying to help them. Things, the economic picture in our state has been pretty bleak. And, we're trying to turn the corner, but it's a very, very slow process. And obviously we see that with the increase in the need for food assistance. Kids can't learn if their bellies are empty.
And as you just kind of touched on, it's not just in certain areas, suburban areas, Oakland County, Livingston County, yep. All across. It's not just, outlying areas.
Right. I live in Oakland County, that used to be not only the wealthiest county in Michigan, but one of the wealthiest counties in the entire nation. And we're seeing those trends as well.
Well, and another startling percentage was that 19.2% of Michigan's population was receiving some kind of public assistance.
Yep. So that's like one out of five people.
Well,
that's where there are neighbors, there are relatives, there are friends.
Well, and it just shows the need for taking a closer look at some of these programs, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And, at a time when, there's so much talk about cutting taxes, we have to be careful that when we cut taxes, that there really are far-reaching effects for doing that. Right now is not the time to take money and cut. When you cut taxes, you have to cut programs.
Sure.
And now is not the time to be cutting programs that help people, especially kids, who for no fault of their own are unable to either find work at all or find work that's going to pay a living wage.
Well, Gilda, I appreciate your time this evening to help us wade through this issue. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Gilda Jacobs, who is president of the Michigan League for Human Services. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.